Living the Word today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, welcome back to part four of our study of angels. Today we're going to talk about angels as guardians. During my years of ministry, probably one of the most often asked questions about angels, to me anyway, has been, Pastor, do we have guardian angels? Because that is a great thought, isn't it? To think that God has a divinely appointed angelic secret service agent just hovering at our shoulder to protect us at a moment's notice. We'd find that comforting. Well, we're going to talk about angels as guardians. We're not going to answer all of our questions because God only gives us the information He gives us. But the information He gives us, we're going to look at in the Scripture today. And what we see here, we can absolutely count on. But we're going to take a different direction because when we really realize why we have guardians, angelic guardians, it's for a particular purpose, a particular understanding in God's kingdom. We have a particular role to play in His kingdom. And this is going to push us to think a little broader and a little wider than we often would. So first of all, I want to take you to 2 Kings chapter 6. And in this fascinating passage, it's one of those moments where God kind of raises the window shade and lets us peer into the spiritual world and then promptly pulls it back down just to remind us that His guardians are available to us as His servants. Now, the story picks up this way. The Syrians, this time in Israel's history, the Syrians were a nation to the north. They were enemies of Israel. And every time the Syrian army decided they were going to do something, God would tell Elisha the prophet would tell the king they'd be ready for it. And so they don't understand this divinely arranged spy ring that's going on. But the king of Syria finally sends a group of soldiers, an army, to Dothan, where Elisha was, and they're going to capture him, or so they think. Pick it up in verse 14. This is 2 Kings 6. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. Man, what a sight. He goes out and just sees they're outnumbered. And his servant said, Alas, my master, what shall we do? I mean, we're gonna get it, okay? That's the only thing he can conclude, this servant of Elisha. And then notice Elisha's response in verse 16. So he answered, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. His eyes are telling him, we are outnumbered. Elisha, through eyes of faith, saying, No, they are outnumbered. And by the way, that is true for us. And, you know, we understand not only the angels, but Christ himself. Greater is he who is in you, in us, than he that is in the world. We are always in the majority with God on our side and when we're on God's side, okay? But then he does something else. Doesn't just tell them, hey, don't worry about it. We got it all fixed. He gives them this little glimpse into the unseen. And here's what happened. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. They were there all the time. You see, these guardians of God are unseen, but indeed they are present with us. They are there. And then not only that, they are also numerous. Because remember what he said, hey, those on our side, more numerous than theirs. So this is well under control. And God has everything under control. What comfort that should give us. Just like, okay, God, I see very little. I see a very slim spectrum of the totality of reality and I don't see into the spiritual world. But our faith takes us there and we understand that there's more going on than we see. So he has this chance. He sees these chariots of fire all around and it's like, wow, there they are. He wants us primarily to operate in faith. But then the rest of the story, Elisha prays in the next verse, this army is struck with blindness. He just basically leads them into captivity, and God has a great victory there. But he uses this moment to teach us this, that the guardians of God, the guardians of ourselves, God's servants, are always available. They are there. They are unseen. And we have to interact with them through faith, believing God's word, trusting in him. And we build that faith by spending time with God and spending time in his word. We talk about that often, but that's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Paul wrote. So we have to just kind of make sure we flush through our system the truth of the word of God. And in so doing, we come to this place where we understand that God has his servants around. So we have these guardians. But now, I want you to think with me. Yes, the guardians of God did protect Elisha, did protect Elisha's servant, did protect the residents of the city of Dothan, where Elisha was, because if it had been warfare, there would have been probably a great loss of life. But I want you to think about this. The primary reason that Elisha was protected was not just for his comfort, but for his mission. And this is what I want to just embed in our thinking. This is where we connect back to God in worship, and where we worship God not only through our lips and with our attention to his word and our love for him, but also our service for him. And I want to just give you this phrase. Let me just put it in front of you. God's protection is not to give us a comfortable life, but to enable us to accomplish our mission for God. Now, it may aid in our comfort. It may give us safety and security. But that's not the ultimate goal, just so we can live comfortably. Oh, I have an ache, a pain, a fear. I have something I need some provision. God deliver it. He often does, and we thank him for it. But there's a greater thing going on. There's a greater reality going on, is we are here on this planet as servants of God to serve him. So he calls us to this greater mission. So we need to be reminded that God's protection, God's promises, all these resources that God has given us, this great vast team that God has given us, and he allows us to be a part of it, is designed so that we can do what God has called us to do. I was talking to an elderly friend of mine who's really been a real confidant and mentor in my life, and he's been in ministry longer than I know how to even calculate. But he told me this as we were visiting the other day, and he simply said this. He said, "You know what? Servants of God are invincible until God is through with them. And when God's through with them, he can get us from here to heaven." And I thought, what a great outlook that we're here to do something. Let me just think about some categories. I'll just share one with you right now. The category of your family. The fact that you are part of a Christian family, and if you're trying to develop a Christian home, but whether you're even just an individual trying to live in your community as a gospel presence, or whether you have a spouse or children or whatever your arrangement, parents, whatever the current arrangement is, God has you planted at that place in your community to shine some light so that anybody else looking that wants to see what Christians should look like, not perfect, making progress, but what Christians should look like is evident and displayed and in a visible way so they can see. In other words, we become the object lessons. It's sort of as if God is raising the window shade into our lives so others can see what Christians should be all about. So we need to think about our families. Are we living in such a way that we're expressing the values of God? Are we trying to reach out and be friendly and be compassionate and being in our communities what we should be? Are we sharing God's truth when we have the opportunity? We ought to see ourselves as being on mission. Our families are missions. Our family is the opportunity for us to show. And in this dark, growing dark world, a family that's showing forth the light of life in Christ is a powerful beacon to draw others to the Savior. Think about your family and your family life as being that which displays God to people who don't know him. And we are the ones that can reveal something about God to their darkened eyes. Maybe God will use us to open their eyes to the spiritual reality that's around us. Now I want to take you to the New Testament. And I want to take you to Matthew chapter 4. And here we're going to find out that angels are not only unseen guardians, but they are always ready guardians. They're just ready to serve at any moment's notice. And this story comes here in Matthew chapter 4 from the temptation story. In fact, Satan brings up the subject of angels in this temptation account. And I want to take you to verse 6, chapter 4. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God," verse 6, "throw yourself down, for it is written." And here's Satan, interestingly. He knows Scripture. He's quoting Scripture. "He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Where Jesus rebuffs it with returning Scripture to him, where he says, "It's written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God," in the next verse. But he says, display your glory. Show everybody. How about a demonstration of your power if you are the Son of God? And he challenges him with that. And he quotes here from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And he says he'll give his angels charge over you. In other words, angels are going to be the guardian of you, Jesus. Are you claiming this promise or not? By the way, yes, in some sense, this is a messianic promise, but it seems if you read the Psalm 91 passage, it's applied to all of God's people. He'll give his angels charge over you and me. He's watching. There's this guardian role there. And he says if you even trip your foot, they'll be there to keep you and lessen the blow and protect you in that. But Satan actually leaves out something very interesting. And in Psalm 91, it says this. Let me read that version to you. In Psalm 91, it says this. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That's the part he leaves out, to keep you in all your ways. He does not tell Jesus about about the mission. He just says, the angels are going to watch you. If you trip over a stone, they're going to catch you. But what it leaves out is, in all your ways, your mission, your task. God protects us, not just for our comfort, but for the mission he's called us to be involved in. So we have this protection. But notice now the level of this protection. It's against what is a relatively small risk, and that's his promise. If you trip over a stone, he's going to bear you up, catch you. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and he told a story. I've been sharing about angels, and we were discussing that. And he said to me, when he was a young man, that he was under a trailer helping a friend get blocks under there to block up this trailer. And suddenly one of these blocks just crumbled and split, and this whole thing came down. He said, I was pinned so I couldn't move, but I could still talk and still breathe. And just a fraction of an inch or two, he would have probably been crushed to death instantly. But it caught right there until his friends could get a jack the thing up and slide him out, absolutely unbruised, uninjured. He said, I've always just thought that was God being there in some fashion, angels or not, to kind of put a little extra support there to keep that from going all the way down, and I could have been killed. And he said, you know what? I think God had something for me to do after that point. And I think that is true too. Because remember this, we are not guarded just to provide us a comfortable life, but we are guarded so that we can do something for God, some service for him. Now, if God can protect us in what is a relatively minor risk, it is implied that he can also protect us in a greater risk. And I want to take you to a verse that's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where we find these words. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's the spiritual threat. The spiritual threat is from Satan himself. The spiritual threat is from this one who wants to destroy us. So not only does he protect us physically, that's relatively minor, but he also protects us spiritually, which is very major. I suspect, and let me just think about this with you for a moment. If we had our eyes open like Elisha's servant we were talking about a little bit ago, what may we see? We might see this universe filled with angelic battles and struggles back and forth and angels protecting us from the demons of that roaring lion who wants to devour us. There's probably warfare. There's probably struggle going on all around. We just have these little hints. And probably God spares us because we'd be totally distracted and probably totally distraught if we knew what was going on in the spiritual realm. But the reality is the guardians of God protect us not only physically, but they do protect us spiritually. Now here, let me just show you how that works at one more place here in Matthew chapter 4. Because it says in verse 11 of this passage, after the temptation, remember Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Then the angel left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. These guardians of God rush in after this attack and strengthen Jesus. Maybe they provided him with food or water or companionship or strength or something such as that. It's hard to imagine Jesus needing strength, but we understand he was fully man during the incarnation as well as fully God. So they were there. And that gives us another hint that he's able to minister to us. So remember this, God's protection is not only just to give us a comfortable life, but to enable us to accomplish our mission from God. We talked a little bit ago about our earthly families being a lighthouse in a dark world. That is the same. It's the same for our church family. This church, our church, your church, is planted in a particular locale to be a light in this community. And of course now with the means that we're sharing with you right now, it can go even beyond the geographical location of where we're planted. But we're to be a lighthouse and use every means to do that. how we love each other, how we serve each other. And we've been talking recently about that God would give us a real spirit of servanthood, of servantship, that He would help us to be ready to say yes to opportunities. It is time for us to not only get busy, but also stay busy. Many of you have been working hard within the church ministry for a number of years, but keep on, don't quit, keep going. May God just enable us to understand that we are on mission, and this church is here to accomplish something for God in this community. And our best days until Christ tarries, we believe, are yet ahead. And we're working on some great ideas as we get out of this pandemic and coming into the fall. And I'm excited to be able to share those with you in the coming days. But we're looking forward to doing even more for the Lord and for His kingdom. So we do that through the church. Lastly, I want to talk about this. Angels are individual guardians. And I want to take you here in Matthew to chapter 18, where we have probably the clearest reference to angels as guardians. And it sort of comes in a place where it's sort of just sort of an add-on to the discussion. But in 18:10, Jesus is talking, and he says this, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So he says, don't offend, don't do anything that's going to harm the little ones. And we take that to mean children. Children to be loved, protected, nurtured, cared for, to be developed not only physically and emotionally, but also more importantly, spiritually. And that's our task, to reach that next generation. So it says their angels. That possessive indicates to us that it's angels that's individually assigned to them. Now the question, is that only in childhood? Is that only for a period of time? When you reach adulthood, do they have other things to do? Well, he doesn't really define it. He says their angels are there. They're personally assigned. And notice it says their angels, plural. Now, you can take that one of two ways. Multiple children have individual angels, therefore it's a plural. Or you could take it this way. Individual angels have multiple angels watching over them. That's the reason it's plural. I kind of view it this way, and this is just how I view it in my mind. Couldn't guarantee this is totally accurate, but I think that God is so gracious that He doesn't just give us an angel. And I think it probably is for a lifetime. Now, maybe it's different angels at different times. Maybe it's different teams. But I think He gives a team of angels. I think the picture I see is protecting the president. There's always this team of guardians that are right at his shoulder, right around him at a moment to step in and get between him and danger. And I just think God has a team of angels around to protect us physically, yes, and spiritually at all times. So they're personally assigned, and I think that it's a team. I think it's angels, not angel, when we think about a guardian angel. But he also says this, and this is interesting here in this text, in verse 10, where he says, "In heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." In other words, they have immediate access to the presence of God. We can't see God. We can't see angels because they're in that spiritual realm. And we're locked into the physical dimensions that we're involved in. But he says, beyond that, we can understand, and we should understand, that they see God directly. They're in the presence of God. What great resources that God has around us are angels that have direct access and can see, and they're in the God's presence and dwell in God's glory. What an amazing reality to receive direction from God and instruction from God and to be where God needs them to be at a particular moment. Yes, we have these individual guardians that are around us. But I want to take you one final verse, and it's a fascinating one and a touching one, and it's in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53. This is when Jesus is being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter is, you know, wanting to swing the sword, and this is what Jesus says, and this is Matthew 26, 53. "Or do you not think that I can now pray to my Father, and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" We already saw in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus had angels that came and ministered to Him. He claimed that promise from Psalm 91 that the angels would be there to bear Him up if He tripped on a stone. We understand all of that. But here, Jesus refused His angel guardians. He says, "I could pray the Father. I don't need you to swing a sword, Peter. If I want to be rescued, all I have to do is pray the Father, and He'd send 12 legions of angels." If that is connected to a Roman legion, at various times in history, they range from either 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers in a legion. So, and I think he's being nonspecific. He's just being a mass of angels, okay? But if you even do the math, it's impressive. Anywhere from 36 to 64,000 angels. And just picture that. The angels were at the ready. Maybe they had their hands tightened around their swords. Maybe they were leaning forward. Maybe they were wishing. They were ready to go. They were ready to launch this rescue mission. God, give the word, and we're ready to save your son from humiliation and danger, because that's been promised. We're ready to move. It's kind of like the commandos sitting on the runway in a C-130 with the engines running. We're ready to go. But Jesus never called for them, because he had to go to the cross to be our Savior. You think of all the protection we have. It's not just for our comfort, but the protection is for a spiritual mission. And Jesus is the epitome. Jesus is the pinnacle of spiritual mission. He gave his own life. He let his body be nailed to a cross to pay sin's price so that sinners like us could be set free. So as we serve him, let's just be all about sharing that message. That message that Jesus gave his life for sinners. And if you will believe in him, your sins will be forgiven. You can be given eternal life. And you don't need to fear what comes after the moment of death. How about you? Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? If not, we stand ready to help you. We'd love to explain to you and help you walk with you to meet the Savior. If you just have questions about that, you can contact any of us here. We'd be glad to have that conversation. But don't put that off. Don't put off this necessity of coming to the Savior. Yes, we have guardians that are unseen. We have guardians that are always ready to step in. We have guardians that are individually assigned to us. But we also have a Savior that refused his angelic guardians so that he might be the Savior. That reminds us about this. We'll say it one more time. Let me put it in front of you. God's protection is not to give us a comfortable life. Sometimes that's the case, but not always. But to enable us to accomplish our mission from God, our primary mission right now is to tell others what you already have if you're a believer in Christ, to tell them about the Savior. Maybe you can point them to watching this message. Maybe you can share this via your social media. Maybe you can have a conversation with them. You can put some Christian literature in their hands. You can point them in a direction and live a life before them that shows that you're different because of your faith and your connection to Jesus Christ. Guardians of God, they are there. They are there to protect us, and sometimes they do increase our comfort and protection in life. But God is really protecting us so that we can serve him. Let's make our lives all about serving him. Let's stay on task. Let's stay on mission, because it is true. Till God is through with us, we are just unassailable. We are unattackable in that sense. We might be attacked, but we're not through. We have this sense of that we will keep going until God is done with us. Let's make sure during this time God is not done with us that we're doing all we can to serve him. It is my prayer for me and for us that we would be servants of God in every way, every day.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.